John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Michael Yon, my colleague, war correspondent, is in Panama, South Panama, the Darien province, La Darien, the edge of a jungle. The Panama Highway ends, and you walk for 60 miles through jungle terrain to reach Colombia and find the other side of the Panama Highway. Michael is now staying at a hacienda, a hotel, not a Motel 6, called Tenosi. Michael, a very good evening to you in Panama. I want to start with your trip south from Panama City, where you've been these last days in a hotel. How did you travel to the south? How far did you go? And who did you meet along the way? Good evening, Michael.
Oh, good evening. Right now I'm sitting in front of the hotel that I'm staying at, and you hear the traffic. That is actually the Pan Am Highway. So I'm at nearly the end of the Pan Am Highway. The end of the Pan Am Highway is about 30 minutes to my left. That's at Yavitsa. That's where the end is. So I came down from Panama City today, which took must have taken four or five hours probably, because we kept stopping to talk with people. And our driver, of course, was 3 hours late, because that's how it goes in places like this. But we met quite a few interesting people. Met one of the Cinefront officers. Cinefront is like the Border Patrol. It's their equivalent of Border Patrol, and they're quite professional. We went to one of their small bases today, and they were having lunch, and they're very squared away. You know, having been in the military myself and being a war correspondent who's spent a lot of time in combat with combat troops, I can look at troops and see the way they behave with each other and how they dress, and kind of get an idea right off the top if they look like they can do something. And they do. Every time I meet the center front out here, they seem very professional. And today, in fact, as you just called me, one of their helicopters was just flying over, and their trucks are going up and down this road. And so, this is it. This is the edge. This is sort of like, if this were the United States, this would be El Paso, right? This is the southern, border area. And so the immigrants who come in from South America come up through Colombia, and then they go through the Darien Gap, that 60 miles of real hell that you mentioned. And in fact, another family just died. It's on the Panamanian news. But the ones that actually make the news, they're clearly in minority, because clearly a lot more die than actually make the news. But another family did just die crossing one of the rivers coming in. There goes the center front right in front of me now with lights on. This is just like being in El Paso watching Border Patrol all over the place. But here they don't have to run them down so much, because by the time the migrants get out of the Darien Gap, believe me, they're not in any condition to run. In fact, a lot of them need immediate care, and some actually die. For instance, a 10-month-old baby died recently in one of the groups that we were tracking right as she got out. And we believe that 11 people died in that group, approximately, out of 70 or 80. So today I came down, stopped a long way, talked with various people, saw a lot of cowboys. There's a lot of cowboys around here. I mean, this is like old Texas. I mean, literally people riding horses all over the place. You see like, 50 people riding horses in a day. So it's quite normal. And that's the kind of place this is. It's really the Wild West.
The center front is the Border Patrol, and their job, from what you've sent me and the photographs, and the AFP had a file film you sent me, the job of the center front is to gather up the migrants as they come from the jungle and feed them, take care of them, and transport them to a camp. So let's talk about the migrants as they come through. When we talked last week, you had met migrants on the other side of the Darien Gap, on the Colombia side, and you said there was one man from Nepal. You recognized him immediately. He was waiting for his friends. We've talked about the Haitian family. What other nationalities did you see, or did the center front tell you are coming through?
Oh, so many. Oh, gosh. I mean, I could just name off about 20 or 30 countries right now. Afghanistan was one mentioned today. I didn't see the Afghans today, but one center front guy said that. I mean, I saw hundreds of migrants today, and I saw some from Cuba, quite a lot from Cuba, a lot from Haiti, others from Congo. There were some that were white, and I don't know where they were from. They did not look like white Cubans. You know, white Cubans can kind of look different, but I don't know. They maybe from Eastern Europe. There were so many, it was hard for me to dive in and find out where everybody, who's who in the zoo, as we say. But from all over, certainly Tunisia, Pakistan, India, Nepal, Bangladesh, China. It's really dozens and dozens of countries. All the people that can't get somewhere closer to the United States to begin with will start in South America. For instance, the Nepalese will often, you know, I've spent a year in Nepal, so I'm kind of dialed into how their migration works. They often, you can't get a visa easily to leave Nepal, right? You have to show why you're leaving. So they'll get a job in a place like Saudi Arabia or Dubai, Kuwait, that sort of thing. And then at some point, they'll get on a freighter. They'll get on a, literally a container ship that's heading to someplace like Brazil. And then that's how they get to South. So it can take them, you know, a long time, a month. I know an Afghan friend who now lives in California. I visited him recently. That's how he came from Iran. He came from Afghanistan. He went to Iran, got on a freighter ship, took him more than a month, went all the way to Canada. He said people died in the container, and finally a small boat picked him off the container ship, and he ended up in Canada. So anyway, now then he ended up back in Afghanistan. That's where I got to know him, and now he has migrated to the United States. So that on his second trip.
These people coming out of the Darien Gap, out of the jungle, you sent me photographs. They look like they're very casually dressed. You had mentioned how some of them wear sandals. They're in shorts. They're in short-sleeved shirts. They've got their hair tied up. They don't look worse for wear, but they certainly don't look prepared for trekking through a jungle, one in which they're likely to be robbed and attacked. So is that the general scene, that they regard this as just part of the journey, the risks they're taking? And they're not especially dressed for it, and they didn't look like they were carrying weapons either.
Definitely no weapons. And I'll send you video that I made. The videos, many are actually barefoot, and which is, you know, many do come out barefooted. And so many were barefoot, but, you know, when we were down in Colombia asking people, you know, do you know what's ahead? Many people had no idea what was ahead. They didn't realize what they're getting into. And of course, the people that are involved in human trafficking that are making a lot of money on this don't have a vested interest in telling the people that the vacation, quote unquote, that they're going on is, you know, people literally die doing this pretty much on a daily basis. And so, and you know, going through the Darien Gap, and then, as you know, then you've got to go through Panama and Costa Rica.
Let's stay in Panama. When they emerge from the jungle, how do they feed themselves? Where's the water? Who's helping them? Or did the Centerfront provide provisions for them when they arrive?
Centerfront picks them up immediately. There's really practically no way to get by the Centerfront. It would be extremely difficult. Plus, most people don't want to. They turn themselves in because they're really worn out. It's basically had a prize fight with the Darien Gap.
Right.
And some people are, you know, dying, literally dying. And so the Centerfront, the government actually feeds them. There's a military bus going by. I must be near a base. The Centerfront actually feeds them. They have to cook themselves. There's actually a Western Union. There is another bus. There's a Western Union inside the migrant camp, and there's a store inside the migrant camp as well. So that, because everybody that goes through Darien Gap gets robbed, and most of the women get raped, right? So everybody gets robbed, and most of the people, a lot of people do come through. They do a lot of them. They do keep their passport, and a lot of them definitely come through with their phones. And when they come through with their phones, the Centerfront actually photographs the people with their phones. And so that, you know, but a lot of people get their phones stolen as well.
Right.
And so they do come through with some stuff. But often they're just robbed blind, and they certainly won't have any money.
And the Western Union is because they have relatives who send the money? Is that what the Western Union is for?
Yeah, they're going to have some way. If anybody's done their homework, they're not going to carry too much money with them, and they're just going to count on people resupplying them along the way, knowing that they're going to get robbed from time to time. Because that's the only way to do it.
The photographs you sent me looked like healthy young people. It didn't look like senior people. There might have been some children, but they were standing together in a shelter underneath a roof, and they were waiting to be transported by army truck. That was the Centerfront picking them up and taking them into the camp. Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, that was actually Centerfront taking them from the Laja Blancas camp, which is about 15 minutes from me now. And they were moving them to another camp.
I see.
And they'll keep them there for some period of time, and then they'll go up to Costa Rica.
So what we have here is an organized greeting of migrants coming through the jungle. They're rounded up by the Centerfront, fed, watered, they're provided. Is there a hospital, Michael? Did you see any medical personnel?
Actually, I was with a doctor and a nurse who flew in, so I'm with them. And actually, I can tell that the Centerfront people, they clearly have a heart for the right. migrants. You know, you can see that they don't like it. You know what I mean? They can. There's children, and I can see that the Panamanians have a heart. And so, you know, but the doctor and the nurse that I was with, we could not get in the camp today. Interestingly, on an aside, they brought a lot of medical supplies, and the Panamanian authorities always check their medical supply, an entire container, 40 foot, right? They are not allowed to bring anything from China. Nothing from China is allowed to come in, but Americans can, and Europeans fine, but nothing from China is allowed to come into Panama.
All right, the next steps when we come back. Michael Yan, war correspondent. He is in the southernmost province of Panama, which is right opposite the Darien Gap, where migrants are coming from all over the world to walk their way north to Panama, where they hope to be, well, they are transported to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and farther north to Mexico, and then to the American border. When we come back, what is ahead for these migrants who are arriving? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.